looking right in the eyes, yeah. Oh, God say we run you down, down to the dark.
Welcome to the Pazos Podcast. I'm Josh, joined by Kevin and Jason. This is our fifth episode. We are back.
Still haven't been Hooray. Cut off yet. It's just a matter of time.
Yeah, it took us a while to get back, so I was a little bit worried. I was like, are they going to cut us off? Or, you know, because we kind of did this little thing where we went 2 weeks instead of 1 week, and man, I was having withdrawals from you guys.
Not only that, but our listeners were too. They want to know where the podcast was. So here we are, guys.
We're back.
Listen away. Listen to your heart's content.
So, guys, we've got some interesting different things to tackle today. I'm going to breeze through a few things just so we can give a little bit of preview. National Beer Day, we're going to be talking about that. KBS release. West 6 put out Transylvania Triple, so we're interested in that. And then Keeneland, we're going to be talking about some good tailgating beers. That is what is under tap for Episode 5. So if you're not interested in any of that, just you've already given us the play, so turn it off now. We're fine with that.
That's right.
Cool. All right, so let's get right into it. National Beer Day. What do you guys think? Did you guys celebrate? What was up?
I celebrate Beer Day every day.
I think I do, too.
That's what I'm saying. You know, like, you send out the tweet. I'm like, happy National Beer Day, everybody. You really got to take advantage of this special, special occasion. The reason why I say that is because we only get about 365 of these chances a year. So if you work in the industry we work in, every day is Beer Day.
That's right.
Exactly.
I mean, I'm enjoying it right now, just doing the podcast with you guys. I've been the adoptive child, I guess, of the industry. You know, I'm a little bit of an outsider, but at the same time, I've come in and I've immediately said, hey, I'm going to start drinking all these great beers, even more so. I had my choices before, but now I feel like since I'm talking to you guys, I've really opened up my doors. I've started to try new things, and I'm enjoying a lot of the stuff that I'm getting from you guys.
That's it, JC. No, we've ruined the guy.
Yeah.
This is always the time of year where it switches from, like, cold to patio weather, where I kind of move from the stouts and Belgians, the high alcohol beers, to those grass cutters and session beers, all those ones we were talking about last time.
Absolutely. We're getting out of the house a little bit, and we're, when we stay in the kitchen and we stay in the house, we're smelling the goulash and the chili and all that kind of stuff that you make during the wintertime. But now we're getting outside a little bit. We're smelling that fresh-cut grass. We're smelling those blossoms, from the trees and stuff like that. And it's the wonderful smell of allergies, but it's also the wonderful smell of, look, we have brighter days to look forward to, and it makes our taste change. It makes our beer selection change a little bit, too. So I think it's a good welcome. You got Keeneland coming up, and you've got some new spring seasonals coming out from all these different breweries, and so it just gives an opportunity to turn the corner and look for brighter things ahead.
I'm excited about all these things. I mean, I actually spent the last 2 weeks setting up my patio outside. I got a new house, so I was going to set up those sort of things. So I was putting together like a fire pit, putting together my grill, all these different things, and the whole time I'm like, going in and out, just like, hey, I need to grab this beer real quick. I'm going to have this time around.
It's
this sounds
how
good.
That
yeah.
works.
I love it. I've got a fridge now, and it's slowly growing, and it's diversity, thanks to you guys. So let's go ahead and tackle it. You guys already, National Beer Day, that's every day. So let's go ahead and scratch that off the list. KBS release, what did you guys think of this year's batch?
Great, as always.
I think it's really good, too. In comparison, I think that Founders is, over time, they've kind of listened to customers to their detriment a little bit. I think that what they hear from some customers, at least loud customers, is the beer should be drinkable. It should be drier, and it should be a little less sweet. It should be a little less on the heavy side. And I think up until last year, they were kind of going that track. The good news is it dried the beer out wonderful. It made the coffee stand out. But also what it did is made the alcohol stand out really, really harsh, too. This year seems like they backtracked on that just a little bit. There's a little bit of residual sweetness in there, a little bit more caramel, a little bit more toffee. And it really highlights some of the other barrel complexities particularly well. And you hear that alcohol, I think, to almost perfection. It's still a spicy beer, but allowed the beer to take on this kind of fudgy, brownie batter kind of consistency. You get those espresso notes coming through fairly prominently. And you get that unmistakable bourbon spice in the finish. And I think the beer come together wonderfully. This is probably the best KBS that I've tasted right out of the gate.
Josh made a good point earlier with the draft versus the bottle. He said the draft is the bourbon barrel aging comes through a little clearer,
It does, and a lot of times what can happen is when you put a beer on draft, you're relying on the bar or the restaurant to set their carbonation rates, at least how they push the beer from the keg to the tap. And so sometimes the pressure is a lot higher. That means the beer is going to be a little bit more effervescent. It can highlight some aromas and the impressions of taste. But it can also lighten the body because there's more bounce to the beer. It bounces off the tongue a little bit more effortlessly. Versus in a bottle, that's usually the way the brewer wants to intend it. So if they wanted to carbonate that thing a little bit lower, what'll end up happening is the liquid of that beer is going to sit a little bit more weightily on the tongue and saturate those taste buds more fully and give you a greater appreciation of flavor, not necessarily for refreshment, but for culinary experience.
I mean, I really enjoyed it this year, and like Jason was saying, you know, I could definitely tell that there was a difference between the two, but, you know, it was actually just a different experience each time I had it, so I enjoyed both ones, and, it was pretty cool. Let's talk about Keeneland right now. Keeneland just started up. What are some great tailgating beers, actually?
This time of year, tailgating beers, I'm always going to go low alcohol just because of the duration of drinking.
So some beers.
Yeah, I mean, you start at 11 o'clock or 10 o'clock in the morning and you're going till 6 o'clock or even later at night. If you go heavy, even 6% all day long, you're going to be struggling later on.
It's the ultimate expression of it's a marathon, not a sprint. So you're going to go slow down a little bit. And take it on stride. You need some stuff with low alcohol. I think the Session IPAs, the Session Pale Ales work real well. All these microbreweries they're putting out some fantastic lagers right now. These usually go 4.5% alcohol. You can sip on those as well. There's a whole plethora of things from wheat beers and everything like that you can get that has a lot of great flavor that doesn't carry the alcohol character that's really going to get you taxed too early.
You mentioned those Session IPAs, and you know the thing that I really noticed about them is they are a spring beer. When you're drinking that, you really get the floral hops, those sort of things. They come out, and it makes you feel like spring on the inside. I don't know about you guys, but I really enjoy a good IPA when it comes to springtime.
Yeah, especially the ones with the real citrusy hops, real clear, you know, citric, that tartness. I like Rattlers this time of year are great for me. Especially that Stiegel Rattler. Man, it's low ABV, and you got the nice big can when you order this.
16 ounces, you don't go back to that cooler too often. You mentioned cans, and I think when you go into Keeneland, you got to take some cans with you. And good news is all these breweries are putting a lot of beers in cans right now. There's a lot of benefits to that can. First of all, from a brewer's standpoint, it's really nice to have products come in that actually weighs less than bottles do, so they can actually put more on the palate without exceeding any weight concerns. They like them because it's impermeable to sunlight and there's actually less headspace in a can, so you can actually preserve the freshness of a beer longer in a can than you can in a bottle. I think if you're a customer, you like the cans more because guess what? They stack. Bottles don't stack particularly easy, but cans do. So you can stack more in a cooler, giddy up, right? Everybody kind of wants more beer in that cooler, so put them in cans. Also, they chill down faster, and that's awesome because sometimes you just don't have a whole lot of time to wait. You got to get in that can really quickly.
I think it's so funny. You know, 10 years ago, if you bought beer in a can, everybody thought it was like Busch Light or Natty Light or something like that. But now some of the really great breweries, Oscar Blue is one of them that's really famous for it, put out awesome beers in a can. You know, Oscar Blue's got a couple really great beers for this time of year. Little Yellow Pills is a really good one.
They're from North Carolina, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Yep. Pinner, I think, is always a good one from them. That passion fruit Pinner is fantastic.
Yeah, it's really good. Here's the thing that people don't think about when it comes to cans, too. If you put a beer in a bottle, bottles are kind of awkward shape. They're about 8 inches tall, 10 inches tall, and they have a very awkward shape associated with them. So you had to print these bands and basically glue them onto that bottle wherever they'd fit. So they had a lot of that bottle that just looked brown. Mm-hmm. Now what happens when you have a can is very uniform shape. So brewers are using an opportunity, and they're actually putting marketing all over that can. So it allows to a brighter looking product, especially when you can stack several of these brewery beers up side by side by side by side. All of a sudden, it's a more appealing looking thing than those bottles were, even though the bottles have that kind of the stigma of elegance, of class. But the cans, I kind of realize, not only is a better delivery system for beer because it keeps things fresher longer, but also gives a brewer an opportunity to market their stuff a little bit more strongly in comparison to everything else that's on that beer aisle.
And let's face it, it just looks cooler. I mean,
it's
like you said,
cool.
Yeah. When I look at my fridge, the whole reason that I was shopping for a glass door fridge is because I wanted to be able to showcase these beers in my man cave. You know, I wanted to be able to turn on that light and just be like, hey, guys, look at this.
Yeah, envy me and do it now.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly.
There's another part of something that just takes me back to my early 20s of actually popping the top.
Yes, mm-hmm.
on
the tab.
A beer. Mm. You know what I mean? It takes me back to like Harrington Lake. Back when I was
so
20,
when you get finished, you crush it on
21.
Your forehead as well?
No, not so much anymore.
Should we get out the funnel?
That's right.
I'm not opposed to that. Funny story. My cousin, who's a year older than I am, she is the fastest funneler of anybody that I've ever met.
I don't know.
In entire I'm telling you, she is the fastest I've ever seen in my entire life. We actually made a funnel out of a half of a hula hoop and a sippy cup after
oh, man.
After she had had kids, and we couldn't find the old funnel out in the garage.
That's ingenuity right there.
I tell you what, we're talking about funnels right now. I got to go back to my days at Western. I went there for freshman year. I used to tell people I was taking the Kentucky College Tour because then I transferred to UK, then I transferred to Kentucky State. So I did a lot of touring, you know, and one of these things that I saw at Western that I absolutely loved was they had the funnel starting at the top of the stairs, and it ran all the way around the banister, all the way down, one of the fraternities there did, all the way to the bottom, and you would take at least two beers through it, and just crush you when it hit the bottom. I mean, I can't imagine having a good craft beer through there. It would have to be a session beer, and that would even kick your
right.
butt. So.
Do you Belgian triple through there? Some of those 9% alcohol, a lot of bubbles associated with it. Yeah,
man.
That could kill a mere mortal. You got to be careful doing that.
It really could. I mean, you're talking about Valhalla right there. Okay, West 6, they released their Transylvania triple.
Speaking
what do you guys
of triples,
think of that?
They do a really nice job with that. They use a very classic Belgian Abbey-style yeast, and what that does is that promotes a little bit more of a spice character and doesn't let that fruit character from the yeast really stand out. The thing about it is, when it comes to Belgian beers, majority of what you taste is coming from the yeast. That's true with all beers, but when it comes to Belgian beers, it's even more so. About 90% of those flavors will come from the yeast, so they actually use the yeast. Has a little bit more of a spice-forward characteristic. And the thing I like about their triples, they're not afraid to hop that a little bit more appropriately. Sometimes when it gets those floral flavors like a triple has, or those fruity flavors like a triple has, sometimes brewers are afraid to hop it like they would in Belgium. But they're not afraid to do that. So it actually has some hop characteristic that doesn't read so bitter. It just reads more floral, reads a little bit more spicy. That yeast is responsible for a really nice level of carbonation that gives you that nice little bounce off the tongue that you're looking for. So even though this beer is going to go with surplus of 8-9% alcohol, it's actually going to have a dryness. It's actually going to have a drinkable approach to it. So you really got to require – it requires some discipline to be able to kind of get into that beer and not drink it too quickly, because its fruit flavor and the effervescence and that little wine-like characteristic, that little bit of acidity that plays on it, really has you thinking that you can drink this thing quickly. If you do, you're going to get yourself in trouble. You're going to have to, and you're going to fall off the bar. Barstool. Good luck with that.
Well, they released 4-packs a few days ago. You can pick those up at any store, and I'm sure that they have it here at Pazzo's as well, so you can drink that, enjoy it, and I'm pretty excited about that. But here's one thing. We got some responses from our questions and various things earlier this a few weeks ago. One thing that we did get, we'll get into the question probably in episode 6, but right now I want to go to a question that was asked of us, which was from Richard Brown. He said, just wondering what you guys thought of Petrus Oak Age. It's one of my favorites, but I'm not too familiar with other sours, so I'm curious how it compares.
It's a really nice beer. The thing I really like about that beer is its cleanliness. It's an oak aged, but it has a very clean profile because it's fermented with the bacteria. Lactobacillus is the bacteria that plays most prominently on that beer. That gives you this really nice, clean lemon and lime kind of characteristic with a kiss of really dry cider and green apple, tart apple, crab apple, without any astringency or harshness associated with it. It has a little bit of a white wine finish, very dry, very effervescent. That oak character just adds a nice little kind of nutty, almost cashew-like characteristic, and a little bit of a powdery finish from those oak tannins, because that acidity that's created in that souring process has a tendency to pull some of the oak tannins away from that barrel, and it helps with that very powder-fine finish. Very crisp, very refreshing. It's very effortless, but there's a little bit more complexity to the beer than what it seems on the front end. So he's really picked up on something, one of the more special beers that are out there in the beer market currently, and something that a lot of people are kind of looking past. So don't look past those kind of beers. Those are fantastic.
What other sours would you guys suggest for him?
I think Avery's barrel-aged sours are always great. We do a pairing dinner with those every year at Village Idiot that we get about 7 or 8 in, and every one of those that I've had has been really fantastic. It really depends on the style. I think he should look at not just those Belgian-type sours, the lambics, but also like maybe Berliner Weiss or some of the Goza or Goose from Belgium. You know, those kind of – if he likes that sour sort of of aspect to that beer. No Matter Vice from Evil Twin is a really good one.
Very good.
I really like the Oot Goose from
Hansen's, maybe? From
yes.
Belgium? That one's a really nice one. But any beer that's going to have a little bit more of that lactic acid kind of characteristic from lactobacillus is going to work. And Jason's absolutely right. The Gozes and Berliner Weiss will get you there.
Pazzo's Podcast. Guys, we just got through episode 5. I mean, I'm already starting to stutter a little bit.
Is that our eviction notice? I don't know.
I don't know. But, guys, it's been great. Episode 5 here at Pazzo's Pizza and Pub. And, you know, we've enjoyed ourselves, and we're going to come back for episode 6 here soon. You guys tune in. Thank you guys so much for listening. If you guys can reach us, we are at Pazzo's Podcast on Twitter, and we are at Pazzo's Podcast WLXG on Instagram. And if you want to write us a Gmail, we're at pazzospodcast@gmail.com. And
come see us at Pazzo's.
Yeah, that's right. Actually, I definitely want to extend that invitation. Pretty soon, we're going to be getting a wireless mic, so we're going to be saying, hey, what questions do you guys have in the audience? So I'm really excited for that. We're kind of opening ourselves up for a few swings, but we'll take the punches and we'll roll with them. Guys, excellent time, as always.